good way to start off this season of the year, isn't it? Thinking about Mary, what she experienced and having that time frame, knowing that she was with child and that that child was a miraculous conception brought about because of a divine act of God. We're looking at the subject matter of Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We'll center on that particular verse. Being that fact that it is a verse that comes right out and expresses, I believe, what this element of the Christmas season is all about, and why, and the aspects of this beautiful time of the year. It's a wonderful, beautiful time of the year. Everywhere you go now, lights are up everywhere. Wherever you go, I mean, people are different. It's amazing how they say hi now and whatever at the grocery store and whatever. It's just a whole different aspect. Good. There are those, however, are not enjoying it because it's busy. It's costing a lot of money. A lot of other things that occurs as a relationship as far as that's concerned. But I want to do a little trivia with you this morning. May have done this one before, but I think it's important again to relate the sermon by introducing it to you, because what I'm going to ask you is to tell me some of the sidekicks. My dad and I, our family, used to watch all of the Westerns back in the old days. I'm dating myself. Okay, is that all right? So I want you to name the sidekicks of these particular Western stars, if you will. For instance, the Lone Ranger. I say, oh, that's easy. All right, Tonto. All right, good, you're with me. How about Roy Rogers? Huh? Dale Evans, no? His sidekick. Pat Brady, okay. Dale Evans was his wife, but Pat Brady was his sidekick. Went with him here and there and everywhere. All right, how about the Cisco Kid? Pancho. Hey, where are you coming from? Oh, my. Okay. Pancho, Gene Autry. Gene Autry, big, heavy-set guy. Want to talk funny? That same first name as one of the other gentlemen. Simply called Pat. Yes. Okay. Very good. How about Marshall Matt Dillon? Who was it? Chester, all right? Chester, you guys are doing great. All right. Well, let's try this one. All right, the Range Rider. You don't remember the Range Rider? Huh. Well, his sidekick was named Dick West, the All-American Boy. I couldn't make them all easy for you, okay? I just wanted you to know that. The All-American Boy, his name was, and he was called Dick West, okay? How important were these sidekicks to the heroes? What role did they play? You know, they got these guys, the top guns, like Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and all of them. How many times did their sidekicks deliver them out of a lot of messes? Quite often, right? Yeah, there's a joke that's told about Lone Ranger and Tonto, and they're surrounded by Indians. And the Lone Ranger says to Tonto, well, we probably aren't going to make it through this. We're probably going to perish. We are going to die. And Tonto replied, what do you mean, we, white man? Now think about those elements of that kind of a relationship and how important it is. It's an abiding relationship. It's an abiding friendship. There's heavy-duty kinship in those types of relationship, a relationship that goes beyond just being a mere acquaintance, a pat on the back here and there. You know, it goes beyond good time Charlie, because they're a dime a dozen today. Always have been, always will be. Many just come, they appear, and then they fade away, as far as individuals are concerned. We all know the story of the prodigal son. We know that he took everything and all of his possessions, went out in riotous living. And while he had it all and all the money and whatever, who knows how many friends he had that were following him was a part of it. But once he spent it all and it was all gone, he had it no more, then, yeah, they left him. He ended up in a pig pen. And aspects of that, of course, is they weren't really true friends. There was never really a true connection. They just wanted what he had to give to them. So in the pursuit and the aspect of the purest sense of the word, devoted friends are people that have a unique, solid commitment to another individual. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. I want you to put that in your marriage, every one of you. That'll be nobody any closer to you than your wife or your husband. And it says you love at all times. The aspect is you're born for adversity. A true friend is born for adversity. So no matter what happens, you know, for better or for worse. For better or for worse. That's the commitment that we made in our wedding vows. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, how about there is a sister who stays closer, a woman who stays closer than a sister? The aspect is that there is an element of relationship there that I believe is very, very important. We went down to Bill's for Thanksgiving. Jean Marie has a brother whose name is Chuck. And Chuck and I see one another only like July 4th and maybe at Thanksgiving time. That's only two times we see one another. But when we're together, it's like we had never been apart. There's something unique about our relationship. There's something unique in our ability to communicate and share one another's burdens. His wife has cancer. She's gone through several chemos. And he's not shared this with anybody else, he said. So I don't know why I'm telling you. It says, there's something about you, Bill. And he just poured his heart out. Tears running down his cheek. And how difficult it has been for her. And for him, and relationships of that nature. But in relationship, he said, you know what? I feel closer to her now than I've ever felt in my life. Remember a week or so ago, I said, you'll never appreciate or never grateful for something until maybe after you've lost it. Prospects of this is what I'm believing. So let's look at 12:9 with me this morning at that particular passage of scripture. And what it says, as far as God's word, says, be devoted to one another. Be devoted in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Devoted. Brotherly love. Honor. I'll spend a few moments this morning. I want to define those terms. We read God's word. What does it mean to be devoted? What does that word mean? What is the aspects of the word? It said be devoted to one another. He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to the family of God. We're to be devoted to one another. He could be talking to us as husbands and wives. We are to be devoted to one another. The aspects of that. The word devoted means to give oneself to or apply oneself completely. It means to give time and attention to someone other than self. To concentrate and dedicate zealously to another person. Make a vow. To show strong attraction or affection to that individual, whoever that person may be. Strong attraction, strong affection is going to be expressed. That's the word devoted. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. In other words, be committed to one another. Give time and attention to one another. Concentrate and dedicate yourself zealously to the body of Christ, to every member of the body of Christ. Make a vow. Make a vow. Make a vow. I'm going to be here on the Lord's day because I'm going to be here with you. You're the body of Christ. You're my family. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. It says love one another. What does it say? In brotherly love. Every time you forsake being with me, you're telling me you don't really love me. No, you don't think so, huh? You don't really mean that, right? I mean, come on, Bill. Well, my Lord says, my word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another even more as the day approaches. Why? Because wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says, I'm going to be there also. Know what he said? That's right. So the aspects of being devoted is to give attention to have affection for, to say and have no aspect of being able to say, you know what? I really love you. You're my sister in the Lord. You're my brother in Christ, and I deeply committed. I love you. And mean it sincerely. Let love be sincere, Paul said to the church at Ephesus. Then honor. Look at the word honor. Devoted, and then it says given preference in honor. In honor. Well, you hold the aspect of hold somebody up in very hard regard, to respect them highly, to respect them highly, to esteem them highly in every aspect, okay? To hold them higher than yourself as being more important than you are. Preferring them above yourself. In fact, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Philippians chapter 2, 3, and 4, in reference, it says, in regard to one another as more important, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, he's talking to you and me. We're the family of God. We're God's children. And I really believe God isn't interested in a social club. I believe God intended that when he called you and me out of the world, he called us to become the family of God, where indeed we will be a family that loves one another, prefers one another, honors one another, and are devoted to one another as a personal aspect of our personal lives, that we wouldn't just walk in, recognize one another and say, hi, how are you, pat one another on the back, and then leave. We are to be committed devotionally and honoring one another and preferring one another. God wants a family that loves one another, and are committed to one another in every aspect of being, so that when you hurt, I hurt. When you rejoice, I rejoice. Know what it says? When you weep, you're sorrowful, then I experience that with you. In fact, Galatians 5 says, Paul said, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Get on my shoulder. I'll carry you if I can. I know Melon falls asleep in her chair every once in a while, and she says, will you carry me upstairs? Well, maybe I can't do that physically, but I can do every aspect of carrying her like I am now, spiritually, in every way, mentally, from my heart to her heart, from my mind to her mind. See, when you love somebody, you love them as much as from the mind as you do the heart. You really do. 1 Peter 2:17 simply states, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That's why I like the Central Men's Men Fellowship. Coming together like we do, maybe just once a month. But man, to be able to go to brothers like Dave and others and have Dave take his arms around me and Dave say, yeah, I love you, Bill. You know what? That's like giving, I don't care what you say. That's more powerful than any vitamin you can take. To know people love you, care about you, concerned about you. They're honoring you no matter what. And they want to bear with you whatever it is you're going through in life. We have to be that element if we're going to be proven to the world that we truly are disciples. Because Jesus said, the world will know you are my followers by the way you love one another. You know what he said? Yeah. Love the brotherhood. Jesus said, greater love can no one have. Greater love can no one have, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. You know, I can't believe in all the aspects of this world and time frame and aspect of how we live today, how busy we are. We're busy, aren't we? I think we're too busy. We're just too busy. We're too busy in many different ways as far as our personal lives are concerned. 2 Peter 1:7 says, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. Then it gets up to the aspects of mentioning brotherly kindness. Then to brotherly kindness, love. Brotherly kindness is where I put your needs above my needs. That if you have a need, it doesn't matter. I'm going to help you meet that need, even if I have to agape. Agape is a sacrificial love. That means I'm going to make you and meet your need, even if that causes on and makes me, if you will, sacrifice. Sacrificial love. Isn't that what Calvary is? Isn't it? Yeah, it goes on and says, brotherly kindness plus love, meaning that I am so committed to meeting and helping you get through life and meeting your needs that I'll sacrifice whatever I have to do, my time, my energy, my money. I'm going to do whatever to make sure your needs are met. Didn't the early church do that? Then they bring the goods and lay them at the apostles' feet and sell them. Why? Because they were meeting the needs of the people that were in Jerusalem, gathered there on Pentecost to hear the gospel. They saw the need, they meant it. The Grecian widows and those who were being, as it was, neglected in the daily administration. Look out amongst you. Let's pick some men that will take care of these widows. Why? So I can give, the apostles could give their times to preaching and to prayer and to the word of God. Doesn't it seem that God really desires his people to be honoring and devoting themselves one to another? Doesn't that just seem that way? Okay. I know we saw Ann out at the home here three weeks ago, and I was amazed. She just knew me right away. I thought, sure, you know, that she wouldn't know me from Adam. But Marilyn and I had the privilege of interacting with her and talking to her, and she was getting a new car. Did you get your new car yet? Ann? Did you get your new car yet? No, I'm sorry. You need one? Yeah, I'm going to say I could get somebody here to give theirs. Well, come on, you loosen up a little, okay? Just loosen up a little. It seems that we are so independent today. We call ourselves an independent Church of Christ, and brother, we are independent. We're independent internally. Man, Dave and Marie and them, we work diligently to make things possible for us to be able to come together as a body and fellowship together and share together so that we don't have to just have a Sunday time. We can have a time of fellowship and sharing and being together. And if we're really devoted to one another, giving honor to one another, it just seems to me, anyway, that I would desire to be there. It seems that way. Because I do. Mel and I wouldn't miss it for anything. I'm sick. I don't feel good right now at all. But I had this sermon, and I wanted to preach it. Okay? I've had 2 weeks to study it, so I'm not going to get all the way through it. I guarantee you that. However, I don't believe that you and I can look at what's happening in the world and say that this type of relationship isn't needed today. This type of commitment, devotion, and honoring and sharing with one another is in dire need today. It really is. Honoring one another in brotherly love needs to be defined. How do you define it? Well, in the Authorized Version, it says prefer one another. Preferring one another indicates a choosing. It's a choice, isn't it? I chose my... Oh, no. Did you choose me or I choose you? Yeah, she chose me. No, I think it was a mutual admiration aspects of it. But the point is, we make a choice, don't we? You know how many people make a choice with whether they're going to associate or not if they have interests of this world? Well, he likes to hunt, so I can fellowship with him. Or he got antique cars. I got something we can talk about. Now, when the family of God comes together, what ought we to be talking about? The weather? What do you think the early church gave testimony of? They gave testimony of what the Lord was doing in their lives. They talked about the Lord. They talked about God. They talked about spiritual things, the things that are eternal, things that are important, the things that relate to one another and encourage one another and build one another up. That's how they shared, and that's how they interacted. Romans 15:2, same book, Romans 15:2 says, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good and to his edification. Most people just live their lives to please themselves, don't they? Am I living in a different world than you are? It's all about me. That's what I hear. When it ought to be, from my point of view, it ought to be all about you, all about her, all about my children, my grandchildren. It's not about me. It's about what can I do in taking my life God has given me and edify and build up and do good unto other people. Because my Lord went about doing good. And it says very clearly in the book of Galatians, do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. That's what it says, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It's very powerful. Accept one another, just as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Wow, that's powerful. You know that James chapter 2 condemns, literally condemns, if you will, prejudice, showing partiality. You know that, don't you? Yeah, it does. There was a big, huge denominational church where I first ministered back when, and they split up the people. When the fellowship came, the rich people sat over here, middle class up here, the higher middle class here, and the poor over here. And there was a veil that separated the poor from these people. And James says, if a poor man comes in and a rich man comes in, and you set the rich man in the front and the poor man, are you not, he says, a judge? Isn't that what you do when you show prejudice and partiality? Aren't we really judging? And isn't there just one judge? I don't care whether you're educated or uneducated. I don't care if you got a degree or not a degree. I don't care if you got a fever or not a fever. It doesn't matter to me. If you're a human being and you're part of the body of Christ, you're part of me. No one can say to the other parts of the body, I don't need you. No, we need one another. To function as God intended us to function, there is a dire aspect of need within the body of Christ. So then while we have opportunity, why don't we just do what God has called us to do? Let us minister goodness to other people. Very important, isn't it? Well, you may and will you again agree with me that God isn't interested in developing a fraternal clique. God isn't interested in a social club. He desires his adopted children that have come into his kingdom to have a deep respect and appreciation and a love for one another. You know what he wants? That's what God wants, isn't it? Where there's a kinship in Christ that causes them to honor and to love one another no matter what. No matter what. And I have to close, but... Orlin Williams, anybody remember Orlin Williams? The plane crashed in the Potomac River, 1982. You remember that? People were being rescued by helicopters letting down the line. He stood out there on the wings and the pace of that, and he gave the line to one person after another. He grabbed the line, gave it to another, gave it to another, gave it to another, until the last person was gone. But when they came back to pick him up, he had disappeared into the frigid waters of the river and drowned. Now, who of us would have blamed him from grabbing a hold of the line and just saving himself? He did exactly what the scripture says, prefer one another better than yourselves. And that's exactly what he did, right? I remember my dad one time when they were putting in a tarred road on Vesterburg Road between Wind and Vesterburg. And I mean, they were digging ditches like you wouldn't believe. And the gravel, you know, they were hauling in loose gravel and filling in low spots and whatever. And I remember I was in the back seat with my two sisters and dad, and then Annie was in the front. And he said he looked back and had no more look back in his mirror, and the sand caught him, and we went down into the ditch, into the water. And the water started pouring into the car. And Dad, bless his heart, got out in the back, and he started lifting us, and he started getting us out of the car sooner or later. And it wasn't long, there were other men there helped pulling us out, and I'll never forget. And when Dad came up out of that water, he was begging and coughing, and they had to do CPR to get him back. He could have died. But he was going to save us. Our lives were more important than his life. I don't know, maybe we'll never have a time frame in our lives that we have to experience that type of a sacrifice. But brother, I tell you, that's what God wants. God wants a people who will prefer and love one another and sacrifice. I wish to God we could get this message into every marriage, where two people would end up, die to themselves, prefer the other mate, be devoted to the other person, giving themselves totally, completely, affectionately to that other person and being as it was Christ to that person. I want to be Jesus Christ to my wife. I want to see Christ because he's a pure example of that. He devoted himself to God and he devoted himself to you and he paid a price for you. He sacrificed for you so you could have eternal life. He's the purest example. And my Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as we look at Christmas time again as it always is for us to think about all the things we're going to do family-wise and whatever-wise and so on and so forth, why don't you try to find a family that maybe you could help? Maybe they aren't going to have a nice big Christmas. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they got children that don't have the clothes and the shoes and whatever they might need. Who knows? Wouldn't it be a joy to be able to bless somebody other than just your own? Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God to help you find that kind of need out there and see what can happen as a result of it. God, I thank you for the sacrifice of your love. Thank you that you were devoted to us, you honored us, you sent your best. You sent Jesus down here to die that we could have life eternal. God, this is a beautiful season of the year. We just want to lift up and worship the King of Kings, honor him by being citizens within that kingdom that love one another, devoted to one another, that will prefer and honor one another, even as you have called us to. Bless this body, bless us as a body. Guide and direct us together. Help our future to be in your hands. May we continue to strive earnestly to find those who need Christ that are lost and have no hope. But may we also know that God, that true and pure religion, is meeting the needs of other people. Help us to be a people that will give earnestly, diligently, ardent to help and to share our lives with others. I thank you for these that are here today. God, just bless them, use them, let your Holy Spirit fill them even now. Help us to be excited about the opportunity to serve you in your glorious kingdom. God, be with those that can't be with us today. Be with them. Bless them. Help us to reach out through a card, a phone call. Help us to say we love you, that we miss you. We love you being in our presence, in our fellowship. Thank you, God, that Anne is here, Dean is here. Thank you for those who have been struggling, that they're able to be with us today. God, we love them. We're thankful for each of their lives. And be with us now. Go with us as we go to our individual homes. Help us to love one another as husbands and wives. Help us to love our family. Help us, God, to indeed die to ourselves and become devoted to others, that they might see Christ in us. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.